It's time for Steve Gallimore Live. For the next hour, we'll examine the world around us through news, science, and philosophy. Then we'll open up God's Word to put it all into perspective. Now here's your host, Steve Gallimore.
Great to be with you today. We're talking about making good decisions. Should our feelings overrule our will, or should our will dominate over our feelings? We have Dr. Tim Jennings with us today, and he is a guest that is on the air with us from time to time, and it's going to be a wonderful program. Stay tuned. There is so much to come today. Our number, if you would like to join us on the air, is 800-775-4673. 800-775 and the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. So if you are on the HOPE channel, the North American feed, if you are on the Life Talk Network on one of the many radio stations all across North America, or if you are on one of the several internet feeds, this is a live program. 800-775-4673, that's our number. We have a couple of Dr. Jennings' books that we're going to give away today. We'll tell you more about that in just a minute. Let me remind you to go to our website, and at the website, you can find this program and many Life Talk programs that are there. You can download them free. They're in high-quality video. You will be very, very pleased. If you download those videos, they are much better than what you see on television. And that's by way of the technical quality of them. We hope the material is better as well. But in any case, you can go there, and you can find that at www.lifetalk.net. Many of the programs that Life Talk produces, you will find there. And if you're not acquainted with all of them, go there and check it out. Also, you can find the various ways that you can get Life Talk programming. And we are literally adding to that almost every day. Now, that is somewhat of an exaggeration, but on a continual and regular basis, we are adding to the various ways that we get Life Talk programming out there, making it easier and easier for you to receive, and also for you to tell your friends and neighbors where they can get Life Talk programming as well. A lot at the website, www.lifetalk.net. Now back to the issue of what should dominate, our feelings or our will. There is some new information that came out of research that was just concluded at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And this is what they concluded. They said it may be possible to improve the quality of people's lives by teaching them better decision-making skills. So, apparently, this is something that can be taught. The issue that we have at hand today is not something that, if you're on the good side or the bad side of that, and maybe that's not the right description, but in any case, it is something that can be worked with and something that can be changed. Now, also, according to their study, intelligence does not explain everything. They say our results, once again, according to this study, suggest that people with good decision-making skills obtain better real-life outcomes even after controlling for cognitive ability, socioeconomic status, and other factors. That's good news because decision-making skills may be taught. So once again, that's some new research that is coming out of Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, and it is something that we need to pay attention to. We're going to talk about it today, and we're going to talk about can we change the way we approach the will versus our feelings issue. Also, they continued in this study to say two human processes, this is according to Dr. Meg Gerard, who participated in the study, and at least in conducting the study, two ways humans process information to make decisions. A more reasoned path, she says, that leads to intention to engage in a behavior, or a more intuitive path that leads to an openness or willingness to engage in a behavior. Now, once again, we have psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings is with us today. He'll help us better understand what some of these things mean. Now, also, according to Dr. Gerard, she says that the process really gets set in place when a child is about 7 or 8 years old. That doesn't mean that it can't be changed and it can't be modified. It means that it gets set in place at an early age. According to Medical News Today, people who are addicted to alcohol and young adults who are heavy drinkers but not considered alcoholics have something in common. They possess poor decision-making skills. I think all of us would agree that making decisions is probably one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, that we do in life. Because when we make decisions, it affects not only our day-to-day life, it only affects where we are now, where we will be in the future, but it also, of course, impacts our eternal life. So how do we make decisions? How do we live our life and order our life in a way that will be pleasing to God and that will be beneficial to us as well? We have a question that we'd like to throw out to you. To whom did the Apostle Paul say, "What I am saying is true and reasonable"? So we'd like to find out from you, the Apostle Paul was speaking to someone. To whom was he speaking when he said, "What I am saying is true and reasonable"? So if you know the answer for that, give us a call. If you don't know the answer, go to the Bible and look it up. And we always like to get the answers, of course, to those Bible questions. And that's where all of us need to go to find all of the things that we need to know about life today and eternal life is in the Bible. I have this book, Could It Be This Simple? And many of you know already, we've talked about this before. This is by Dr. Tim Jennings. It is a brand new book. And by the way, this book has not even been advertised yet. And the first printing is already gone. And so it is really moving. I told you last time Dr. Jennings was with us that it would go very, very quickly. Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind by a great psychiatrist, Dr. Tim Jennings. It's a wonderful book. We have two of these. We'll give them away by way of drawing at the end of the program. Stay tuned. There's a lot to come today, and we would love to hear from you. 800-775-HOPE.
Your thoughts and comments are welcome at 800-775-4673.
It was a steamy night in the city that's seen it all. I was in my office, ready to pull the rug out from under another tough case. It was a cheap rug, the kind you could spill coffee on and not really care, and it matched my suit perfectly. I'm Harry Slade, private accountant, and the financial mess that had been plopped on my desk just didn't add up.
Mr. Slade, who are you talking to?
Well, never mind that, Miss Webster. What you've given me here just doesn't add up. You're spending more than you make. You need to get on a budget. Go cold turkey with the credit cards.
Oh, I can't. It would be as if...
Get to the point, Miss Webster. Remember, you're paying $75 an hour plus expenses.
But I owe so much.
I've seen worse cases. But don't forget, a budget's nothing more than a plan to help you spend less than you make and get out of debt. You can do it, Miss Webster. We can do it.
Oh, Mr. Slade. Harry, how can I thank you?
Don't mention it. It's a job not unlike any other job, really. You see, there are a million stories in this city. And behind each one, there's a Money Minute from Crown Financial Ministries.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about decision-making process. How do we make good decisions? It does impact our temporal and our eternal life. And we would like to hear from you. Your questions, your observations, your ideas are all important to us. 800-775-4673. You can give us a call. If you're on the LifeTalk Network, if you're on the Hope Channel, the North American feed, if you are on one of the many internet feeds, this also is a live program. So give us a call, 800-775-4673. We have Could It Be This Simple, a book by Dr. Tim Jennings. It is a biblical model for healing the mind. And we have two of these, as I mentioned. We'll have a drawing. We're going to give these away. But others may want to get them if they don't get it on the air. And people are taking these away by the thousands. And so, Dr. Jennings, if they want to get one, I know that they will continue to be available because they're going to go into second printing. But how do they get one of these?
They can get them at any Adventist Book Center, Amazon.com, or our website, comeandreason.com.
All right. So those are the places that you can find those. If you don't get one of these two copies today, by the way, Dr. Jennings has given this these to us to pass along to you. Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. 800-775-4673. We'd love to hear from you. So pick up the phone and give us a call. Dr. Jennings, let's get right down to the topic today, making decisions. And, you know, so many people make decisions by just, this is what they feel they want to do, this is what they do. And many people, in fact, it seems to me, and this is just an armchair view, but it seems to me that many people make those kinds of decisions because that's really where they want to be in life. Whatever feels right to them, that's where they want to be. And we can discuss, by the way, how this is impacting Christianity today. We may want to do that in a little while. But let me first of all ask you, from your experience and from your knowledge and background, how do most people actually make decisions?
I would say your observations are correct, that we are have an inkling, so to speak, to make decisions based on how we feel rather than based on what is necessarily the best decision in the moment. We have faculties of the ability to reason, to weigh things out and make healthy decisions, but all too often people don't utilize those faculties for their decision making. They instead make it based on whether they feel comfortable with it. And the difficulty with that is so many things can affect how we feel. Things that have nothing to do with whether it's a good decision or not. Lots of examples we could talk about, but a classic one would be a mother taking a child to get vaccines. To do that, most mothers who are compassionate, it's not a good feeling to hold their child and watch the child get an injection.
Right.
It doesn't feel good for the child either. Feelings are going, oh, this just doesn't feel right.
Right.
But your judgment is able to evaluate the situation, understand the circumstances and facts, and make an intelligent choice to pursue what is best, even though it may not feel good in the moment. That's healthy decision making. Most people have trouble with it.
Well, let me ask you to distinguish some things for us. What is the difference between feeling and willpower? What's the difference between those two things? I know that often we talk about, you know, definitions of words, and it all gets kind of lost. But from your experience and knowing what actually makes the brain, the mind work, at least as well as we know it today, obviously there's still many things to learn. But from that perspective, what are feelings? What is willpower?
Well, willpower, or the will, as I describe it, is the power of choice. We have the power to make a choice. Our feelings are our emotions. It's interesting that the Bible actually says in James, the first chapter, that no one should say God tempts because God doesn't tempt anyone. Each one of us are tempted when we're drug away and enticed by our own evil desires or feelings. Our feelings are notorious for leading us into temptation. I love to ask my patients, if you would think back, and I'll ask the viewing audience, think back over the 10 decisions you've made in your life that you regret the most. The ones that if you could undo them, you would undo them.
Right.
How many of those came through a thoughtful, conscientious, reasonable evaluation of the facts and evidence and an intelligent choice? And how many of those came based on the way you were feeling in the moment?
All right.
And if you think of your life, it's very obvious very quickly. Suddenly, when you look at it like that, whoa, that's right. They're almost always based on how I feel or the decisions I regret the most.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is very true. And yet, I think most of us find ourselves saying, hey, you know, I did this simply because, not that I reasoned this out, but this is, you know, it's just what I felt like doing.
Well, and this because our beliefs play a role in this as well. People will frequently base their feelings on past experiences,
right?
What they're comfortable with, and if they have this belief that is frequently told, I think it started coming through in the 60s and is still told today, well, if it feels good, do it.
Right.
Well, nothing that feels this good can be all that bad.
Right.
These types of concepts get in the mind, and people believe that to be true, and so they deceive themselves into thinking, well, if it's feeling good, it must be okay then.
Right. You work with many, many people. Describe in general a person that runs by feeling more than they do by decision making.
I've got an analogy I use with my patients frequently. Imagine a bobber, a fishing bobber on the ocean. The waves of the ocean are our feelings. The person who goes by feelings is like that bobber. They're up, they're down, they're left, they're right, they're forward, they're backward. Their life seems to be unpredictable, chaotic, and they don't really seem to get anywhere consistently. The person who goes by their reason and conscience, directing their power of choice to implement healthy decision-making in spite of the feelings, are like ships on the ocean. They still have all the waves to deal with, but they chart their course through the waves to take their life where they'd like it to go.
All right. You know, when I think of the Bible and I look at all the characters, and one thing I really like about the Bible is that it's not just a book about laws and rules and regulations or even high theology, but the Bible is more about people. There's more about people in the Bible than anything else. God talks over and over again, tells stories about people. And one character in the Bible that comes to my mind when we talk about this that really seemed to live by feeling was the first king of Israel, Saul. It seems that his life, just whatever he felt like at the moment, that's where he went.
Yes, and of course, look where it ultimately led him.
Right.
Yeah, he had been given information, he'd been given evidence, he'd been given time and time again. David had demonstrated evidence. By the time David caught him in the cave and caught him sleeping and left him and spared his life over and over, David gave evidence that he was trustworthy. But King Saul went by his feelings of fear and insecurity, his self-doubt, and let those dominate his decision-making. You're exactly right.
What about early formation in the process of decision-making? Where does that start?
Oh, it's a wonderful question. Our decision-making is not just what we're taught, just what we observe, but it also has to do with the health of the brain itself. And in early development, when the child is born into the world at birth, the brain has hundreds of millions of neurons more at birth than it does by the time the brain is 8 to 10 years of age, by the time we're 8 to 10. And if we are engaging in activities that are unhealthy for a very critical part of the brain, which is called the prefrontal cortex, which is right behind our forehead, that's where we do our good thinking, our good judgment, our good reasoning. If we're involved in activities that are unhealthy for that, such as lots of theatrical television watching, we can actually impair neural circuit development that would lead to good and healthy decision-making later in life. Homes in which there is abuse going on cause extreme emotions to be stirred up constantly, paralyze the prefrontal cortex from developing because we're so frightened and anxious all the time. And you can experience that yourself now. If you were in a situation where you had lots of fear or anxiety, it's hard to focus. It's hard to think clear in those situations. Imagine growing up in an environment where the home life is like that. You never have times where you feel safe. It's hard for those prefrontal circuits to develop in a healthy way. So kids not only develop bad relationships, bad objects internalized where they have psychology problems, but they actually have physiology, hardware problems of the brain when they grow up in these difficult environments.
Tell us a little bit more about the hardware of the brain that leads to the decision-making process.
The hardware of the brain is that circuitry behind the prefrontal cortex, and it can be damaged by lots of things. It can be damaged by, as I said, television watching in excess, by drugs, by alcohol. All these things can actually damage those circuits, which makes it hard to make healthy decisions. Conversely, healthy involvement in activities can help those prefrontal circuits. Parents can do things for their kids that can, within the bounds that are healthy, allow children to start making decisions for themselves to practice those neural circuits.
All right, there's a lot more to come today as we talk about the issue of making decisions, how to make good decisions, and we would like to hear from you, your questions. We have a wonderful guest today. I know that you must have questions. Give us a call and also express your opinions or your questions. Either one would be great. We'd love to hear from you. 800-775-4673.
You can join the conversation now by calling 800-775-4673.
Ma'am, what you got here is a slip in differential.
What exactly does that mean?
Well, you see, it means that your differential is slipping.
Okay, what will happen?
Oh, well, the car will start acting all goofy, be hard to steer.
Oh, my, that sounds serious.
Oh, absolutely, very serious. Needs to be fixed pronto.
Will it cost a lot?
Well, how much do you have? I mean, probably will be a lot, yeah.
I guess I just have to trust you. Can you fix it?
Well, I can't, but my nephew Randall can.
Randall?
Yeah, he works part-time on the weekends when he's not bowling or watching the TV. Hard to believe he's only 13.
Well, if you think he can fix it.
No worries, Dolly. Trust me.
Okay.
Does it seem like you just can't trust people sometimes? Well, you can trust Christian Radio to deliver encouragement and a positive message every single day. From Life Talk Radio.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about making decisions. How do we as Christians make good decisions? And how do we make those kinds of decisions that will give us a better life now and also, of course, make that most important decision and decisions that affect our eternal life? Our number is 800-775-4673, 800-775 and the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. If you are on one of the many Life Talk radio stations, there are about 70 stations that are on the network right now broadcasting this program across the country. If you're on one of the several internet channels, and there are a number of those that are broadcasting this program right now, both audio and video, and also if you're on the HOPE channel, that is a worldwide, a television program and station with worldwide presence. And those of you watching HOPE Channel, of course, you know exactly what it is. And this is on the HOPE Channel, the North American feed. So this is a live program, and we would like to hear from you. 800-775-4673 is our number. And our guest is Dr. Tim Jennings, psychiatrist. And we have Could It Be This Simple, a book that he has recently written, has recently been published. It is entitled A Biblical Model, or subtitled rather, A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. And I know this is a book that you'll enjoy and appreciate if you get it today. We're giving away two of these by way of drawing. And this is such an amazing book because it is by a wonderful Christian psychiatrist. And it is, as I mentioned, subtitled A Biblical Model. Well, you don't find that all that often, this kind of thinking in the circles of psychiatry. But we're talking today about a wonderful, good Christian psychiatrist. And I know you will appreciate this book if you get it. A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. Could it actually be this simple? So give us a call, join us on the air, and we'll make you a part of a drawing at the end of the program. And this book, as I mentioned earlier, has already gone to the second printing, and they haven't even advertised it yet, except on here and a couple other places. But that's it. And we're not advertising it. We're just sharing it with you and letting people know that it's here. But Dr. Jennings, let's tell people once again where they can get your book.
You can get the book at any Adventist Book Center, Amazon.com, or our website, comeandreason.com.
All right. Very good. Well, let's get back to the whole issue of our feelings. Help us better understand, Dr. Jennings, how feelings actually take control of us and what governs feelings. Now, obviously, if a person did not have some kind of mechanism that governed feelings, all of us would be totally out of control, because there is nothing now that is the governor that says, stop here, go forward, those kinds of things. So what is it that functions well in some people to govern feelings and maybe not quite as well in other people?
Feeling, our mind, God designed with a certain organizational balance. The highest faculties in tandem are our reason and conscience together, which form our judgment. So when I say judgment, I'm referring our ability to reason and our conscience. Those faculties are to direct that power of choice, choosing healthy actions and behaviors. We also have beneath that our beliefs, the things we believe to be true. And beneath that, we have our emotions or our feelings. Now, what we believe definitely can impact our feelings. If you believe your wife is cheating on you, you will have a change in feelings. Even if she's not cheating on you, if you believe it, you will have a change in feelings. So our beliefs can change our feelings. The way God designed our mind to work is with our reason and conscience directing our will to healthy decision-making. Satan wants to twist this thing upside down. As I mentioned earlier in James, we're tempted through our feelings. Jesus said, you'll know the truth. The truth sets you free. Let's walk through some examples real quick of what happens when we're in a situation we let our good judgment direct our decision-making, or in decisions and we let feelings direct our decision-making. Imagine that you're at a school board, and the school board is discussing whether they're going to allow uniforms and have uniforms for the kids. And somebody says something on the board that causes an emotional reaction within you.
This isn't a personal experience, by the way, is it?
No, it's not a personal experience.
All right.
But I've heard this come up sometimes.
I've heard this many times. Go ahead.
Not from you, but this case.
Yes. Or cases like this.
Right. Sometimes things can be heated. Right.
Sure.
And so you actually get an emotion of anger, an anger emotion. And that anger emotion tempts you to stand up and say angry and ugly words. But your judgment kicks in and says, no. And this is a conversation you're having inside your head now. Inside your head, you say to yourself, no, it'd be better if I calm myself down, wait, and speak in a more professional manner. Now, you have a choice to make. I'm still feeling angry. My judgment's saying it's probably best to keep quiet. Do I go with my judgment and restrain myself and wait until things calm down and then speak? Or do I let the anger take over and choose to go ahead and just blurt out whatever I need, feel like I need to say? If you go with your judgment and you calm yourself, and you restrain yourself from acting out in that way, your self-esteem, your self-worth, and your self-confidence will rise. However, if you let the anger feelings take control, afterwards what happens to self-esteem, self-worth, and self-confidence? They fall. In any situation in which we allow our feelings to overrule our good judgment, we lose respect for ourselves. Our self-esteem, self-worth, self-confidence falls. And I could go through all different types of emotions, whether it be fear, sexual arousal, anger, whatever. If we allow it to overrule our judgment, we lose respect for ourselves.
All right. Another question maybe that could be looked at in reverse of this is there a time when our feelings should impact our judgment or our reasoning processes? Let's hold that just a moment. Let's go to the phone.
Okay.
I'd like to come back to that issue.
Okay, we will.
And look at it from the reverse side.
Yes.
We're going to Maureen in Florida. Maureen, nice to have you with us today. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good. Well, you are on the air, so...
Okay, my question is for Dr. Jennings.
Yes.
Did you notice that someone is living in denial? Is there any kind of advice to say, how can you reach that person to let them realize that this is truth and you're living in a denial state? How would you go about doing that?
That's a great question. And the only way to reach somebody in denial is through some form or fashion, truth has to be confronted. Oftentimes, the way that happens is by allowing consequences to come to bear on a person who is in denial. Their circumstance comes to bear. That is a reality. That is a truth. Sometimes families can have meetings. If, say, if somebody's got an alcohol problem and they're denying their alcohol problem, the entire family can get together in a confrontational, supportive confrontational way in which they confront the observations through all the members of the family together. So there's no really place they can wiggle out and deny anymore. But basically, you have to have truth come to bear into that person's mind. And if they don't want to hear the truth, then what has to happen is that family members need to step back and let the consequences of unhealthy decision-making come in to bear on that person's life, and the reality itself will ultimately have to wake them up to their situation.
All right, Maureen, anything else?
Can we just continue to pray for that person?
Of course. Absolutely. Pray that God will use means and interventions to bring truth to bear to that person in the way that is most likely to break through their denial. Because God knows their minds better than anyone, and he can bring circumstances to bear that will wake them up in ways that we couldn't devise of.
Well, and Maureen, without knowing the circumstances, let me also say this, that oftentimes when we pray for someone else that God will break through, it's equally important, I think, for us to pray for ourselves that God will break through to us, because sometimes there may be more than just one side of the problem. And once again, I don't really know the circumstances that you're talking about. But if you'd like to stay with us, feel free to do that. We're going into break. We have to go to break right now. We will be right back. 800-775-4673. You can call us. Join us live on the air. We'd love to hear from you. Steve Gallimore back with you. We're talking today about decision-making process. And that, of course, affects not only our day-to-day well-being, but our eternal life. We'd like to hear from you, 800-775-4673. 800-775 and the word HOPE, H-O-P-E. My guest today is Dr. Tim Jennings. He is a wonderful Christian psychiatrist, and he has written a book recently entitled, Could It Be This Simple? Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. And we're giving two of these away today by his graciousness. And so if you would like to have an opportunity to have one of these sent out to you free of charge, give us a call and join us on the air, participate in what we're doing, and then we'll put you in the drawing. And once again, Phil, you assure me that this is a fair drawing, right? All right. Everyone has an equal chance. And so just pick up the phone and give us a call. 800-775-4673. If you're on the Hope Channel, the North American Feed, the Life Talk Network, or the Internet, this is a live program. So you can call and participate in what is taking place here. We have Mary Maureen in Florida, and she called in and asked a question. And Maureen, I'm going to come back to you and ask you if you have a follow-up or another question, another part of your question that you'd like to speak with Dr. Jennings about.
It was just this situation that this person has believed to be have gone outside the will of God, and you can't get them to see that. They're thinking that this thing is what God intends for them, when it's especially in his word that this shouldn't be. And it's like a denial, and it's trying to get the person to understand. Sometimes I believe family members, it's difficult to reach other family members. But then if you turn to an outside source, then sometimes that works better. What is your take on that?
No, I agree that oftentimes an outside source will be heard by the person more effectively than a family member. And one other method that I didn't mention earlier before the break, which may be actually more effective in this situation, would be gentle but targeted questioning of the person. If you know the person well, you know the circumstances well, you know the way they think, gentle questioning that is designed to expose in their thinking the fallacies or errors in their conclusions, that the truth will slowly lead them out of the error that they're in. So gentle questioning that was designed to open their mind up to another way of thinking can also be helpful.
All right, Maureen, does that help?
All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you for calling, and God bless.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Virginia now, and we're going to speak to Jane. Jane, how are you doing today? Hi, Jane.
Hello?
Yes. How are you doing? You are on the air, Jane, from coast to coast.
I don't know the answer to your trivia question.
Okay.
But can you hear me?
I can.
But I know of one decision I made in my life that I'm positive it was the right thing to do. And I know it for a certainty.
Uh-huh. And what would that be?
It was that I joined the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
All right.
In 1959. What? And it was related to a doctor's visit at Adventist doctor and Adventist hospital in Tacoma Park, Maryland.
Uh-huh.
And this decision had nothing directly to do with the doctor's appointment, but I was so impressed by that. And a later time when I was had an emergency and I had a born-again experience, said to me, go to the Adventist hospital.
Well, Jane, you raised something that is really very, very good. In fact, we've just in passing mentioned that a couple times today, and that is the issue of making decisions for eternal life. You know, we do make decisions, of course, every day, every moment of every day almost, but what about decision-making for eternal life? And I'm going to ask our guest to follow up on this because you have raised a really wonderful, wonderful question. You know, I have seen so many people give their life to Jesus, make a firm decision for Him, and decide for eternal life. And, of course, that is a conscious decision that we make. It's not something that just happens. But, Dr. Jennings, I know that when a person makes a decision for Jesus, it's a decision that involves both feeling, because Jesus said that, you know, the power of His love draws people to Him. And we also, of course, have an intellectual decision, looking at the Bible. Yes, is this really the way to eternal life as Jesus said that it was?
I think of the men on the road to Emmaus when Christ was walking with them and opening the Scriptures to them. And afterwards they said, did not our hearts burn within us? But notice their hearts burned within them as truth was being comprehended. In Revelation, it says, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And, of course, that's the door to the heart.
Right.
What is he knocking on the door to the heart with? It's with truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. He will lead you into all truth. And so when we experience God's love, as we love is not something that's just an emotion. It's an action. It's a way of living. It is a principle of decision making. And we see that God's self-sacrificing love is most evidenced in the life and death of Jesus. That isn't just a good feeling. It's evidence that appeals to our reason, that wins us over to trust a being who is so gracious and loving like that.
Well, and you know, Dr. Jennings, one thing that really impresses me as a miracle is how God sometimes will reach through the human condition. A person maybe that has not maybe totally destroyed the ability to make decisions, but, you know, they've had lifestyles and habits that have led them to the place where their mind isn't as healthy as it should be. And yet God at times can reach through that and enable that person to make a decision for eternal
life. Absolutely right. I think of a case in point in the Bible was the demoniac. He could hardly even speak, but he reached out in his mind to Christ and he was set free.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Well, Jane, thank you so much for your call and raising that issue. And we praise the Lord that you made a decision to follow Jesus and to accept Him. And that's certainly an intelligent decision to make, something that we do with our willpower and our mind. Thanks a lot, Jane. God bless. All right. Let's go now to, we are going next to South Carolina, I believe it is, and speak with Terry. Terry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. I'm fixing to lose signal. I mean, my phone's battery's fixing to die.
All right.
I wanted to get in touch with you. I'm going to try to get it out before I can.
All right.
I'm looking for a psychiatrist, a religious psychiatrist here locally.
Yes.
I was wondering if you could send me some information locally, maybe, where I can find one.
Okay.
I'm seeing a psychiatrist now, and since I've become a Christian, I've got so much joy for the Lord.
Right. Terry, hold on for a break. Terry, we're going to talk to you off the air because your phone's dying, but that is a great question you have raised. We want to address that also when we get back on the air. But stay with us. We'll talk to you off the air. We'll be right back.
Do you have a question for today's show? Call 800-775-4673.
Do you long for a more intimate relationship with God? Are you looking for an abundant life and power to walk in God's footsteps? Then look no farther than the Bible in your hands. Popular speaker and author Shelley Quinn knows firsthand the power of reading the Bible and speaking God's promises aloud. She shares her insight in her new book, Exalting His Word, published by Pacific Press. Shelley Quinn will infuse you with a greater desire to study God's Word and to help you experience God's transforming power in your life. Let the Bible in your hands be God's power in your life. Get a copy of Exalting His Word today by calling 800-765-6955 or going to pacificpress.com. That's 800-765-6955 or visiting pacificpress.com.
Steve Gallimore back with you. We are talking today about decision-making process, and we're going to pick up quickly in this segment because we have Terry on the line. He said that his phone was about to die. Dr. Jennings, he is hunting for a Christian psychiatrist, and I know this is a real challenge that many people face. And where does an individual turn that they need to go to a psychiatrist, they need the help, but to try to find the right kind of person that they can have confidence in? How do they do that?
My recommendation would be check with their local clergy first. Often the clergy in their community will have checked out the right. local mental health providers and have found some that they are comfortable with that are practicing godly methods in their practice. If that fails and you're left on your own devising, then when you have your initial appointment with your mental health practitioner, it would be totally appropriate for you to ask them their philosophy, their belief in God, how they apply God's methods to the treatment plan, and what you can expect from them as far as Christian principles go in the upcoming treatment together. And if you don't like the answer, then don't schedule a follow-up.
All right. Terry, I hope that helps. I think it is a good advice to go to a pastor, and oftentimes there are church organizations that will have counseling centers in any given area. I have, as a pastor, found those to be good resources, but you can't just take those for granted either. It usually takes a little bit of research to say, yes, this is a place that we can have confidence in. But, Terry, I hope that is helpful to you.
Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Okay. God bless you, too.
Yeah, thank you. Let's go now to Lois in New Mexico. Lois, great to have you on the air with us today.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question. I guess it's afternoon. But
okay.
I turned the radio on, and I just, in the middle of this program, I thought I heard him say something about if you grew up in abusive childhood, that it affected your decision-making process. I have always been, it's been difficult to make decisions, rather hard. And then when my mother died 3 years ago, everything just fell apart, and I can't decide or make choices or process correctly, or I'm having so many difficulties. We moved yesterday, and it's just like, where do I put what belongs in what cabinet in the kitchen? I can't make that decision, and I don't know what to do with these problems that I'm having, and I wonder if it does go all the way back to the beatings and the abuse I took as a child, and it just gotten worse. It just kind of came to a head when my mother passed away, or
right.
or what?
Well, Lois, thanks for calling today. Dr. Jennings, do you have any advice for Lois?
Lois, you're first off, I want you to feel hopeful that just because you're having this struggle now doesn't mean this is the way it will always have to be. The mind is very pliable and plastic. The brain can be improved. The neural connections can be improved with practice. I would recommend that you do try to get involved with a good Christian counselor of some sort who can help you process through these issues and learn how to apply healthy decision making, which over the course of time will result in a gradual transformation. Very similar to if you started working out your muscles with weights, it would take time to gather strength. So too in the thinking processes that are healthy, it takes time. It is absolutely true that your thinking has been impacted in a negative way if you were raised in an abusive home. But there is healing and recovery from that with proper treatment. So I encourage you to do that. And of course, always be seeking God in your life in that process as well.
Does that help, Lois? Lois?
God in my life is what has kept me hanging on.
Yes. Well, and once again, you know, if you don't have a pastor, you may want to find a pastor that also can help you and encourage you, maybe, and help you get the kind of help that would be beneficial for you.
And one other thing, in my book, I actually teach methods and principles in the book that you can actually read, learn, and apply that will help you in this very situation.
And Lois, if you need a pastor, if you don't have one and you need one, and this is true for anyone else, give us a call. We can make recommendations. We have contacts all across the country. So,
well, we've already connected with the church. They helped us move into the house, and we'll be meeting the pastor tomorrow. So,
all right, very good. Step in the right direction. God bless, Lois. Thanks for calling.
God bless you. Thank you.
Bye bye. All right, let's go to Wisconsin now, and we're going to speak with Joyce. Joyce, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. So nice to have you call.
Thank you for taking my call. And I don't know exactly how to go about my question. I had something happen to me in my infancy that, you know, that has affected the rest of my life. And I thought that I was somewhat healed, but then I had an incident that happened where I thought I was doing what was right and what was in God's will. And an individual had a lot of anger. I offended them somehow and unintentionally, unknowingly. And it seems like I find myself feeling like I'm so naive and obviously undiscerning.
Right.
I guess my question is, you know, how do I get past this? It seems like that this incident kind of has brought me back to my childhood.
All right. We're going to go to our guest and ask him for some help. But let me mention to you, Joyce, that, you know, often when we make decisions, I don't know of anyone that always makes perfect decisions. In fact, even if we get away from the feeling issue and just make decisions based on our reason, we're never going to make perfect decisions every time. But what you're being impacted by, you know, by way of your past, we'll talk more about that in just a minute. We have to go to break, so Joyce, stay with us, and Dr. Jennings will have some comments as soon as we get back. Our number is 800-775-4673, 800-775-HOPE. There's still more to come.
Has Steve made you think today? Tell us about it. 800-775-4673.
Inspired by the Bible Experience. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1.
In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying,
"Repent! The kingdom of heaven is near!"
This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them,
"You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance! And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. But I am not the Messiah."
You've been listening to Inspired by the Bible Experience, a fully dramatized audio production of the Bible, performed by an unprecedented ensemble of top name actors, pastors, musicians, and more. Inspired by the Bible Experience from Zondervan.
Steve Gallimore back on the air with you. We are talking today about decision making. I have a book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. This is by our guest today, Dr. Tim Jennings, psychiatrist Dr. Tim Jennings. And we have two of these that we're giving away in just a minute by way of drawing. And so call us quickly if you have a question or observation. We'd like to hear from you. 800-775-4673. We also have Joyce in Wisconsin that is on the phone with us. And Joyce called in. She had a question to ask. And we're going to go back now to Dr. Jennings and have him follow up on Joyce's question.
Joyce, thank you for your question. And it sounds like, listening to you just as briefly as we had time to talk here, that you sound very sensitive to how others react to you and if other people get anger towards you. And I would suggest to you that, in fact, you might even feel responsible for how other people feel. And if they are upset or angry, you're feeling a sense of burden or guilt that you might get. My recommendation would be that to recognize the truth will set you free. You are not responsible for how other people feel. You're not responsible for how they act. You're not responsible for the choices they make. You're only responsible for conducting yourself in the most gracious, Christ-like way possible. Look at Jesus Christ as our example. He lived the perfect life. There were some people who hated him, who got very angry at him and crucified him. Yet he did nothing wrong. It is very important, and sometimes we find ourselves vulnerable in life, and I'll give you a quick example. Imagine if you walk out into the parking lot wherever you are located right now, and you see a 40-year-old man screaming angry, ugly words at a 5-year-old little girl. Do you look at that situation and go, what a horrible 5-year-old little girl? No. You immediately assess that the man has problems. But when you're a little child, or when sometimes as adults we find ourselves in a situation where people are screaming ugly words at us, we're all too often, like the little girl, if you watch it happen, what would she walk away feeling like? She would walk away feeling like that she was a bad little girl, that she did something wrong, even though she didn't. And sometimes, especially if we've had childhoods in which we've been mistreated, we can become sensitized to where we personalize things as our fault when they're not. The truth is, you're only responsible for your conduct, not how other people react and treat you. And Christ said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Recognizing that truth, when other people treat you in ugly ways, they're only revealing to you what's in their heart, not what's in yours.
All right, Joyce?
Okay.
I hope that's beneficial.
Yeah, I wish I had time to talk farther and ask more questions, but anyway.
Well, quickly, if you have something quickly, go ahead. We are coming towards the end of the program, but go ahead.
No, that's okay. I'll just let it pass, I guess. But I just, okay. I don't know. I'm still very troubled with this being so naive. And is it a sin to be naive? I don't know.
I would recommend you see a counselor because a counselor can really help you come to some clarity on these issues.
Okay, well, the Lord will have to provide that way, I guess. So.
Okay, well, thanks for calling, Joyce. And we wish you God's blessing.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye. God
bless. All right, thank you. Let's go to New York now, and we're going to speak with Alberto. Alberto, nice to have you on the air with us today.
Hello, yes.
Yes, go ahead.
I would like to know, has there been any cures, or what advice can you give me for people that have been diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia?
All right, good question.
Great question. There has been no quote-unquote cure. Paranoid schizophrenia is a disorder based in the genetics of the individual that and or some developmental, there's several theories. One is genetic predisposition. Other is that something happened in utero that caused the brain wiring and the brain development to be altered in some way. But the bottom line is that schizophrenia is primarily believed to be a biological condition, and it doesn't have anything to do with the character of the person. This would be one of those where when the disciples looked at the blind man and said, who sinned that this man was born blind, him or his parents? And Christ said, neither. Schizophrenia would fall in that category. This is not a result of you or your parents. It's a result of the fact that sin is in the world. There is no cure. My recommendation, of course, is that you see a psychiatrist. There are medications out there that can absolutely put things back into balance, improve our ability to reason, control hallucinations, make our faculties work more effectively, stabilize mood. So I would encourage you definitely get on medication, which will be very helpful in this situation.
Okay, Alberto?
Yes, can I one more quick question?
Sure.
I heard that in other third world countries, they use herbal remedies for a lot of different treatments for different diseases, even psychiatric diseases. Is that Is that possible to go in that way of herbal remedies?
Herbal remedies for mild and or moderate depression, such as St. John's wort, which is a modest monoamine oxidase inhibitor, can actually have some benefit. Omega-3 fatty acids have actually been shown to be beneficial for stabilizing mood in bipolar patients. Not that it's necessarily a cure, but it does have stabilization of mood. Some of these things can be helpful, but there is no evidence that there's any herbal or natural remedies that have any successful impact in the treatment of schizophrenia.
Thank you very much.
All right, Alberto, thanks for calling, and God bless.
All right.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right, Dr. Jennings, let's come back to a question that we had posed earlier, and that is, how do feelings impact the will?
Yeah, I think the question was, should we ignore our feelings? Or right. When we make decision-making, do we allow our feelings to be involved
do
in that decision?
Do we consider those?
Yes, consider those in decision-making. And the answer is absolutely, of course. Feelings are data. They're information that we should always include in our assessment. And what I tell my patients is our feelings should be elevated to our reason and to be included in one of multiplicity of factors that we're considering when we go to make our decision. The danger, however, is when reason just gets put off to the side and we make decisions simply and solely on how we feel. That is the danger. But feelings can actually give us information. We can ask the question, why am I feeling this way? Why am I uncomfortable? There must be some reason for that. Is it because this person reminds me of my father who used to beat me? That could be a reason we're uncomfortable. Is it because there's something going on here that isn't quite right, and I'm picking up on it, but I can't quite put my finger on it yet? Maybe I should pause until I can identify why I'm feeling uncomfortable. There could be a reason for that.
Well, you know, the old wives' tale or whatever it may be, that some people have better intuition than other people, or even certain genders have better intuition. Any truth to anything of that nature? And is intuition... That is feeling, isn't it? You feel a certain
intuition
way about
something. Intuition is really thought to be your ability to pick up on nonverbal cues in a situation that are sending signals to your mind that hasn't yet fully come into clarity as to where and why you're remembering this. But it's actually impacting on past experiences, and you're drawing on those past experiences that are being cued in the current situation, and you get a sense of whether this is healthy or not healthy.
30 seconds left. What would you like to leave our audience with today?
I'd like to leave the audience with, pursue the truth. The truth will set you free. And in order to pursue the truth, you must engage your power of reason to think through situations rather than simply letting feelings control your decision making.
All right. We want to thank each one of you for being with us today. We do have winners, Terry in South Carolina and Joyce in Wisconsin. We will send this book out to you free of charge, Could It Be This Simple, by our guest today, Dr. Tim Jennings, A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. A great gift. You'll enjoy it. Thanks to each of you for being with us today. We wish you God's blessing and look forward to being with you next time.
Thank you for listening to Steve Gallimore Live. We're here Monday through Friday to help you think critically about the current world events from a biblical worldview. We would like to say a special thank you to those who faithfully support LifeTalk through financial gifts. You make it possible to continue sending out a clear and undiluted message of hope in a world that's pulling apart at the seams. For more information on how you can participate in this vital ministry, visit our website, lifetalk.net. Or call toll-free 800-775-4673. Thanks also to our research volunteers and our radio and television production teams. Please join us tomorrow for Steve Gallimore Live.
Hi, I'm Mary Welchel, host of the weekend program, The Christian Working Woman. Life Talk Radio is here to connect you with Christ.
Paralyzed Veterans of America ensures our veterans get all the benefits they deserve.
For helping me get back into life, thank you, PVA. I couldn't have done it without you.
They work to break down barriers for all Americans with disabilities.
It's great to have a career and take care of my family. Thank you, PVA, for making our world more accessible.
In the last 25 years, researchers have made great progress in finding a cure for spinal cord injury and disease.
Thank you, PVA, for funding research to find a cure for paralysis.
Thank you, PVA, for protecting my civil rights.
For your sports and recreation programs.
For helping with my VA benefits.
To learn how you can help Paralyzed Veterans of America, call toll-free 1-866-USA-4-PVA or visit pva.org.
Thank you, PBA, for your service to America.
Thank you, PBA.
Thank you.